Welcome to Rural Minnesota Radio, a collaboration between the Center for Rural Policy and Development and Minnesota State University, Mankato. I'm Jim Gullickson, and with me today is the president of the Center for Rural Policy and Development, Brad Finstead. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Jim.
So we have been following what's been going on in St. Paul at the Minnesota Legislature, and it's been a lot of wrangling over really a couple of different things. You've got the supplemental budget, and you've got the bonding bill. Where are we in the process, and what sort of process might we expect?
Well, we're about midway point. This is where we'll start to see the action. A lot of the committees, the committee work is really that first phase of a legislative session is where they're hammering out details of bills through the committee process. The deadlines now are approaching, and usually by the Easter Passover break, you will have all of the committee deadlines in place, which essentially from a process standpoint means that if your bill has a chance at becoming law, it needs to be through committee by that time. From there, you know, then it's the long floor sessions, the debates, and you know, we've seen some progress. Not everyone maybe agrees with the success of the progress, but you'll look at the bonding bill. The legislature passed a roughly $1 billion bonding bill, gave it to the governor, and the governor now has line item vetoed that bill down to about $680 million. So one could say that that portion of the work is done. This is a bonding year legislative session, so that piece would be done. It's up to the legislature now to see if they want to try to veto override any of his line item vetoes.
They really have to find out whether they even have enough votes to make that happen.
You know, one of the things that's interesting, if you look at the line items that the governor picked, individually or specifically related to, you know, the merits of their own little proposal, it becomes pretty regional or very district specific. And it's much harder to build an override coalition based on a volleyball court in Rochester. You're going to have a harder time getting the people from Wilmer and Worthington and Warroad to say, you know what, I'm going to override the governor on that volleyball court in Rochester. So it's a tough process. You know, the governor's line item veto capabilities, it makes it tough to be overridden on a piece-by-piece project. The other option is they could throw him another bonding bill, and I just don't think they have the appetite or the time to do it.
Sure.
Bigger things loom. The budget deficit from a short-term and a long-term perspective. And you know, they have a middle of a May deadline, and they're all up for election.
A question on process with line item vetoes regarding the supplemental budget. Can he do the same thing with that?
Well, the short answer is yes, but the long answer is let's see what the courts have to say, because
sometimes
the line item vetoes specifically related to a budget, you know, there's just a lot of questions that remain. The unallotment suit right now is being heard by the Supreme Court. That will tell us or give us a picture of, you know, how strong and how far-reaching is the governor's authority when the legislature comes to an impasse with him or her. And so that the courts will decide. You know, I think it's in everybody's interest that they all just work together and get something that they can all say, you know, you didn't win, I didn't win, but the state won, so let's get this done and move forward.
Absolutely. Brad, thanks so much for dropping by today.
Thank you.
This has been Rural Minnesota Radio, and we will catch you next week.